In our studios, Matt Mowers. He's a Republican candidate, 1st Congressional District, joining us in our GMI studios along with a guest. And we'll get to our guest in a moment. Mr. Mowers, thanks for being with us.
Jack, great to be with you. It's a beautiful morning, and as you said, we've got a great guest who I think brought some warm sunshine from South Carolina with her on the way up.
Before we get to that, let's talk about some of the policies coming out of this current administration, which Congress does have a say in from time to time: immigration, border, spending. When you look at what's happening right now in Washington, our last guest on the economic front, inflation. Inflation's what people really are faced with every single day right now. Federal Reserve's going to raise rates to try and quell it. Why, Matt Mowers, do we still hear from leadership in Washington or the Biden White House that it's everything but inflation that's causing, everything but federal spending, federal stimulus, federal borrowing that's causing inflation?
Well, because they're trying to deflect and blame. And, you know, this is what Joe Biden and Chris Pappas, who I'm running against, do every time. You know, their policies have contributed towards this inflation. It's the reason why we have one of the highest rates of inflation since the early 1980s. It's because of their policies. They went on a socialist spending spree last year. They made America energy dependent instead of independent. And they don't want to acknowledge that any of that is what's contributing to this. And Jack, we all know this. I mean, every single thing you buy is impacted by the increased cost of gas. Because of the increased built-in cost of goods. And you're seeing that right now, let alone for the folks who, you know, have to put heating oil in for their home, like most of us do here in New Hampshire. You know, it's been almost a 100% increase for folks, and no one can adjust to that. No one can afford it. And they're just so detached from reality in D.C. right now. You know, Joe Biden's never had a real job in his life. Chris Pappas really hasn't had a real job in his life and has been running for office since he was 20 years old.
Well,
and I just don't think they get it.
Some would say running a restaurant's a job, but we'll get back to that. But let me ask you this, Matt Mowers. We hear each time the Democrats were in favor of, like, this new federal election law, which I think was a power grab on state elections. But they'll say, we need to take dark money out of politics. We need to take dark money out of politics. Is that happening?
No. I mean, and you know, Chris Pappas ran an ad in 2018 that he said everywhere he goes, he hears people want to get money out of politics. Yet, guess what happened last week, Jack? Nancy Pelosi's super PAC, which is funded by all of those dark corporate special interest dollars that, you know, Pappas and the rest of them decry, booked $2.5 million of ads in this campaign, over $2.5 million, and they said they're just getting started. So that means there's going to be even more money that's coming from undisclosed donors, from all the same corporations that they're decrying their record corporate profits from. They're taking those profits and investing them in reelecting Nancy Pelosi as Speaker of the House, which means reelecting Chris Pappas, which is one of the same. And it's a shame because we should be having an honest dialogue instead. We should be coming out and doing interviews with you, should be going out to grassroots events like Ambassador Haley and I are doing after this when we go down to Fody's Tavern in Derry. That's what campaigning the New Hampshire way is. It's not buying an election, which is the way Chris Pappas and Nancy Pelosi want to.
Former Ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, former Governor of South Carolina in our studios. Governor, is Nancy Pelosi going to be the next House Speaker?
Jack, it's great to be with you, and not if we have anything to do about it. That's the reason we're here for Matt Mowers, is we have got to win 5 seats. This is one of the top races in the country, all eyes on New Hampshire, and we want to make sure that we win, because at the end of the day, we can't afford Nancy Pelosi, and we certainly can't afford Joe Biden. And what we've seen is Pappas has been in lockstep with Biden ever since he became president.
And I guess you have two titles. I'm going to say governor. You may say Nikki. I'm going to say governor out of respect. Matt Mowers in the race, Caroline Leavitt on the show last week, Gail Huff Brown was just on, Tim Baxter. Why Matt Mowers on your endorsement?
You know, it comes to the fact that I think it's really important that we not just look at who can win. That's the easy way out. For me, it's really important that we go and we help find candidates who, when they win, they can make a difference. Matt has seen the bureaucracy of state government, of the federal agencies. He knows how to fight it. He knows how to push through it. He knows not to take their answers as golden. He knows and has dealt with the White House. He knows how to work with the White House, and he knows how to get things done. And at the end of the day, what we have to do is not just win the House and Senate. We have to prove we deserve to be there. And Matt's somebody who won't have a learning curve. He'll jump in there. He knows the values of New Hampshire, and he'll get to work. I mean, I'll tell you right now, the part that's infuriating is we have inflation. We have $30 trillion in debt. But you know what else we have? A spending bill that just passed with almost 5,000 earmarks in it, totaling $10 billion that was spent by Republicans and Democrats.
Right.
I don't just want a Republican. I want a conservative that's going to go in there and fight for the value of a dollar and fight for the American taxpayers' dollars.
Governor, we just had former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo on the show at the end of the week, former head of the CIA as well, Mike Pompeo, talking about the Ukraine. he has a unique perspective and some credibility talking about world stuff. When we look at Ukraine, Vladimir Putin, NATO, the whole complexity, our response. You were ambassador to the United Nations. You have a great your perspective is very sought after, and I appreciate you being here. I know we could do a couple hours on the complexities of what led to this, where it's at, how it resolves in the East. But there's been atrocities. We're hearing more carnage. We had a refugee who's in New Hampshire who fled the Ukraine on Friday's show, Mila, who said, "Don't take your state live free or die motto for granted." In one day, my husband and I lost everything. So my point is, where are we at on the war in Ukraine? Do you see a resolution soon, or is this going to protract out? What have we done right? What have we done wrong? I know there's a lot there, but I wanted to kind of get your general reaction.
Well, I think the thing that Biden did right was to, you know, give out that intelligence of what Russia had planned. That was, you know, obviously he deserves credit on that. The problem is what he didn't do before. We had the opportunity to prevent this. We had the opportunity through sanctions. We had the opportunity through providing equipment, and it wasn't done. I mean, President Trump authorized equipment and ammunition to the Ukrainians, and last March they were supposed to get it. Biden put a stop to that because he didn't want to provoke Russia. They were supposed to get another round in June. Biden stopped it because he didn't want to provoke Russia. Well, now what you've got is a war, and you have the Ukrainians that are unable to defend themselves. So we need to be giving real-time intelligence to them. We need to make sure we get those planes over to them. We need to win for freedom. This is a fight for freedom, not just for Ukraine. It's right. A fight for freedom. And I'll tell you, I think this is going to be a longer war. I don't think this is going to end soon. I think you're going to see Russia continue to say they want to negotiate when they don't. I think you're going to continue to see them say they're going to move out of areas when they're not. What I can tell you is Vladimir Putin, I've dealt with him. He's a thug. He's a war criminal. He will not stop until he gets Ukraine and go on to Poland and the Baltics. This has slowed him down, but he's not going to stop. He now needs to save face, and I think more lives will be in danger in the process.
Nikki Haley, I just want to ask you on Vladimir Putin. Do you think he fears and respects the United States and the current administration?
No, and why would he? After Afghanistan, after agreeing to Nord Stream 2, after seeing all of the him falling, you know, watching the U.S. fall all over themselves to get into the Iran deal and allowing Russia to be the negotiator, why would he be scared of us? And that's the reason you don't see the Arab countries coming to our side. That's the reason you see India staying out, is because we've done nothing but show weakness.
Matt Maurers, let me ask you, as a congressional candidate, and the governor can come in and out of this, Nikki Haley in our studios, Matt Maurers, it seems the American public is, in my community, you'll see the Ukrainian flag. The Russian people aren't hearing what's happening, but we are. I mean, Vladimir Zelensky piped in last night to the Grammys. He's trying to keep that open line to the West. But it seems to me that I don't think the United States would favor, you know, a war with Russia at this point. And if Russia has the intentions that Nikki Haley says beyond the Ukraine, what is the red line, Matt Maurers? Where does NATO or the United States sort of turn up that heat, whether it's in weapons or no-fly zones, or where's the red line?
Sure. Well, look, I don't think anyone is advocating for putting American troops on the ground, and I know I'm certainly not. But what we should be doing are things that are common sense. You saw the Biden administration half-step every single measure to support Ukraine. You saw them delay transferring the Polish MiG jet fighter planes to Ukraine. That's something that should have been done immediately when the request was made. It would have provided them with the necessary air cover that they needed. We need to continue to supply the Ukrainians with the necessary equipment that they need in order to fight this war. Otherwise, what you're going to see is a lot of European nations through NATO or others get dragged into a prolonged conflict. So we need to do everything we can to provide the necessary support to Ukraine, whether it's through funding or military equipment, in order to allow them to repel Russia's invasion. Otherwise, everyone's going to get dragged into a much longer conflict, something none of us want. But that involves leadership and involves actually keeping to your word, something Joe Biden just has not done since he got into the White House.
And not only that, Jack, I'll tell you, I've had this conversation with Matt. What's really important is we need to get Europeans off the dependence of Russian oil. And the way you do that is America needs to double down. We need to be exporting liquefied natural gas, and we need to tell the Europeans they can't wait 10 years to get off of Russian oil. They have to do it now, and we need to help them do it. Poland and Lithuania have already left Russian dependence, and now they're getting it from Australia. We need to help them do the others. And I'll tell you, talking about the Green New Deal and doing what Kamala Harris today, which is she's talking about how to make schools more green, that's not what we need to be talking about. We need to be talking about fracking, and we need to be talking about how we're going to export more liquefied natural gas.
And real quickly, Nikki Haley, I want to follow up on that because you brought me to energy. I asked Secretary of State Pompeo this, but when President Trump and Mike Pence, and you were part of that, you know, when you were United Nations ambassador, when we had to create a vaccine from the private sector for a thing called COVID, the president convened CEOs and business leaders and in warp speed and time gave them the parameters saying that we, the federal government, the FDA, will make emergency approvals faster, but you got to make these vaccines. We got to get them to the American public. Now we have a energy crisis in America. People are paying in some places, you know, mid-fours for a gallon of gas, home heating oil. We had Bill from Durham call in. He said a year and a half ago it was $200. It was $900 last time he filled up his oil in Durham, New Hampshire. This is a lot of money for families on fixed budgets with inflation. Why hasn't this White House, in your mind, if they really want to produce more, we've had Senator Hassan say we have to get more domestic oil, or not oil, energy. Why haven't they convened the leaders of our top American energy companies to the White House saying, let's work together. Where can we frack? What permits? Let's not get caught up in finger pointing. How can we get more supply out there beyond just releasing for the emergency petroleum?
Because they know they would have to admit they were wrong. It's ego and pride. Democrats would have to admit they were wrong, and that all this work on the Green New Deal and all this work on climate speak, all of that would have to go out the window. And I'll tell you, Biden knows the only way to fix inflation and the fuel prices that we're seeing at the pump is more production. That's what needs to happen. And, you know, you don't have to get it from countries we don't want to get it from. Open the Keystone Pipeline. Pipelines are cleaner than putting trucks and rail on, you know, out there. So, you know, look, they don't want to admit they're wrong, but there's a lot of solutions to this. They just have to start doing what's right.
We're going to go to a quick break. We'll come back with our in-studio guest. Before I let you go, you're here supporting Matt Maurer. You're going to be going around New Hampshire. You've been here before. Mike Pompeo was in the state the other day. Chris Christie, Tom Cotton, others have come up to New Hampshire. It's not that far away, 2024. Where are you at on your thoughts about whether or not you're going to run for president and seek the Republican nomination?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, I think that if we don't win in 22, there is no 24. And that's the reason we're campaigning across the country for House, Senate, and governor's races, because we think it's important. The second thing is I don't think I have to make a decision until the first of next year. If it looks like there's a place for me, I've never lost a race. I'm not going to start now. I'll put 1,000% into it and finish it. If there's not a place for me, I will continue fighting until my last breath for this country that's so great.
Matt Maurer in our studios. Nikki Haley, former governor of South Carolina, ambassador of the United Nations. The latest book is?
If You Want Something Done. It's going to be a leadership book about women who have affected and changed our lives through history.
One thing I just want to ask you, if this was like one of those presidential forums, I hear from people on both sides of the political aisle, Jack, we need to do more to make our borders safer, to protect our borders, to stop the flow of fentanyl. And yet I haven't seen a 60 Minutes crew go in there and do an enterprising piece showing the crisis, the humanitarian crisis, the cartels at work, taking advantage of people trying to become, you know, get into our country, the drugs that are flowing across our border. Where's the disconnect with people in Washington realizing that we do have a real crisis and it's not part of the last election or campaign at the border? When are they going to wake up? And God forbid, when their nephew or niece or their loved one overdoses on fentanyl?
You know, I mean, this is horrible. I mean, what you're seeing now, if Biden goes and releases the COVID exemption, it's already bad. And now you're going to see 18,000 illegal immigrants cross every day. You know, we had enough last year that would make the 10th largest city in the country. Think about that, because that affects our education. It affects our health care. It affects our economy. And yes, it affects crime and drugs and why we've seen, you know, unprecedented crime. And so something has to give. He could start with the Remain in Mexico policy, putting that back in place, stop this catch and release that's happening, and really start to add to the processing centers, because, you know, we're a country of laws. The second you give up being a country of laws, you give up everything this country was founded on.
And Jack, you know, you talk to anyone in law enforcement, as you know, as endorsed reports by the Manchester Police Association just 2 weeks ago. The drugs that are poisoning people in our own communities here in New Hampshire are coming across the southern border and then making their way up here. So this is not just an issue for folks who are living in Texas or Arizona. This impacts us directly here in New Hampshire.
No, and the cartels, as you know, Matt Myers, they targeted this area. They targeted New Hampshire because of our addiction rates, our affluence, and they're multi-billion dollar organizations. They know where they're sending this stuff. Hey, before I let you go, and Nikki Hill, this is more to you, talking about the midterms. You said something during the break that's interesting, that you really don't look at 2024 until Republicans prove in 2022 they can win the House and Senate and govern. I guess my question is, do you keep in touch with former President Donald Trump? And if you do, what are his views on the midterms? Does he feel that Republicans are going to win both the House and the Senate? Do you feel they are?
Well, I saw him in person a couple of months ago, and I just heard from him a couple of days ago. He was, of course, complimenting me on an interview that I had done. So he continues to watch plenty of TV. You know, I mean, I think he feels bad. He feels bad about how far the country has fallen, and he knows that we've got to fix this. I mean, you know, I worked with him on the border issue. It was a mess when he had it, but we fixed it. He sees all the mandates that happened. He sees how our kids were not in school. He sees inflation. And he knows how good the country was when he was in office, and he sees how terrible the country's going now that Biden's in office. And so, yes, I mean, I think he knows that we've got to do some changes. I think you're going to see him out there during this election season, and hopefully we'll get our country back where it needs to be.
You think Republicans win the House and Senate or one of those two chambers?
If we do our job, we win both, but we can't be arrogant. We've got to be humble, we've got to be disciplined, and we've got to talk about solutions.
All right. I know you both have a place to go. I'm going to let you go. Well, thank you for being with us. Nikki Haley, former ambassador, United Nations, and governor of South Carolina. Still make your home there, of course, in Charleston?
Yes, definitely.
All right. Matt Myers, thanks for joining us in person. GMI Studios, we'll let you both get on because I don't want your folks who are with you to yell at us later saying we kept you too long. It's too early in the season. If the election was next week, I'd go right to the top of the hour, Governor.
Oh, well, we'll be back.
Great to be with you, Jack.